waiting for the others. You got any question, you can ask. Leslie came here before, isn't it? Yeah? Leslie, you came here before, yeah? Second time, oh, okay. Yeah. She was happy, very happy to come to know our group, kind of it. Then she is going to, I don't know how long, next month or end of the year. Next month, she is going to fly off to France to get married. So new life, but she has good understanding. So she wants to maintain WhatsApp contact with the Kayamita. Then she will try to listen to the recording from there. It will bring about a lot of condition for you to understand life. It will help you in many ways to help you understand life, overcome whatever problem that may arise when you are there. Because when you are in a foreign country, foreign land, the culture are different. The way they speak, the way they interact, and the way the country is all very different. So it can be very alien to you. Sometimes you may have a cultural shock, but no problem. When you have the understanding, you can fit in, and you can make full use of it, because life is within the moment, the reality. Everything is very pristine, very beautiful. And when you perceive them with wholesomeness, your mind state are very beautiful. Yeah. Then you develop clear understanding of life. Then when there is happiness, when there is joy, when there is Dhamma, your marriage will become different. And you will have the good life. So whatever it is, whatever will be, will be. So your destiny will take you there. There are past causes and conditions, otherwise it won't happen this way. Then it's not a problem at all. Last time I got one Kayanamita, also a lady. She actually don't intend to get married on. Then suddenly one day, he went to Thailand, go for retreat and all things. Then he met this Thai man. Somehow, they fall in love. Then later on when she came back, when she told the family about this man from Thailand, then the family got a shock. Then when the Thai man came, they got further shock because they came to know he was a drug addict in the past. Then over the years, he actually recovered. But then he don't have a job, and he can't speak proper English. He just like, so the family of the lady was very worried for her. Then the sister also objected very strongly. Actually, the whole family objected. Then she was in tears. She came and see me. Then I talked to her. I said, you have to speak to your sister nicely, your family members, to let them understand. Because this is your life. Hope they understand and they allow you to make your own decision in life. So you can actually explain, I understand you are my sister, you are my loved one. You love me so much, that's why you care for me. Likewise, I also care for you. Then you can tell them, just like the way you care for me, I also care for you. That's why I respect you for what you are. Whatever decision in life you make, I will respect you. But if you need advice, you can talk to me. I will advise you, but I will not force you into any decision that you may not like. So likewise, you ask for their understanding. So finally, they agree. Then I told her, you got nothing to lose. You don't worry. If it's meant to be karma, everything will fall into place. If it's not meant to be, if it's supposed to be a karmic debt, you have to pay back, no problem. After 1 or 2 years, you will know. Then just accept the reality. Then repay whatever karmic debt. Then need to resolve it amicably, resolve it amicably. But based on what you say, it looks like yours one is meant to be. So you don't worry. Oh, we can start the puja now. So tonight, who is going to light the candle? Oh, we let Leslie. She is leaving soon. Leslie is one of them. Then the other one is? Joanne and Leslie. Come. So you all light the candle and the incense. Then we can start the puja. Oh, there are still offering coming. Good. Sadhu, sadhu. We should rejoice. Oh, today got coconut. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, very good. You're supposed to light. Never mind. They give you the honor to light. Come. Come. Join them. There are two items. You light one, she light one. The candle stick. The incense and the candles. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The incense, Joanne light. Then we can stand. Get ready for puja offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Put them back on the tray. Okay, very good. Now we can start the puja offering. So together, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully observe and rejoice. So this incense is not easy to stick. Yeah. Never mind. It's okay. I think can. Yeah. I think there is something there. Broken. So we wait for a while, while Mi Fong change the incense holder. This one is good. Okay, can, never mind. Wait, change this to the actual candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Eh? Thank you. Then we compose our mind, develop the faith. Then we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Eh? Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, now you can be seated, then we can start our puja. Turn to page 4. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhammam saranam gacchami. Sanghang saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi buddham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi buddham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranam gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we are chanting the padipa puja offering of light. Gannasara paditena Kitena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang Ganda sambarayutena Jopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Ehetang kasuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatumutamang. Here, turn to page 18. We will chant the puja aspiration. We are understanding the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool waters lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, So that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transferring of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Tripunyam. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, good. Now you can be seated. Then we can start our meditation. Most of you have been here before, so no need introduction. So today you can meditate longer. We can straight away start the meditation. For those who still need to refresh themselves, go back and read the blue book. If you are new, you don't have any reference book or what, we can have quite a lot of good selection of Dhamma books. They are all on the shelf for free distribution. You can collect them on the way out. There is a blue book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. That one can give you a very good understanding of what this meditation is all about. And it also summarizes to you one of our Thursday class talk. Leslie, you got this, huh? Oh, you got, good, sadhu. So, this is a very good book. Those who don't have, you try to have a copy. Then you will know what this meditation is all about and why you are here to develop the training of your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, because that is the beginning of cultivation. The first step is to learn the teaching. They call it phase one of Dhamma Pariyatti, where you cultivate through reading, listening to Dhamma talk and the sharing, so as to develop the clear understanding of the Buddhist teaching as taught by the Buddha. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. When you understand the Four Noble Truths, you can understand his teaching very easily, because the other essential Dhamma, they spin off from the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths are very unique because they are, what the Buddha said, truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. So you can develop the understanding of this noble truth, you will become noble one. That's why it's called noble truth. In Pali, it's called Arya Satya. Satya is truth. Arya are the enlightened beings, the noble ones. So these are very potent and very important essential truth, and it summarizes to you all of life. both the mundane and supramundane. Everything that you need to understand about life, they are all in the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths. The First Noble Truth explains clearly to you the realities of life and existence. Everything that a living being goes through, since birth until death, then in between, as you go into life, as you enter your school, academic, then as you graduate, as you step into the career field, the job market, as you mingle with society, all this, the Buddha called it the realities of life and existence. You will encounter many, many things in life, but there are eight realities that can bring about suffering and misery if you encounter them or confront them without the requisite understanding of his teaching, or you don't develop the wisdom to understand them. Then it can bring about suffering, misery, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. And all this come about because you don't have wisdom, you don't have right view, you don't understand life, you don't understand who you are and what you are. So being deluded, you will get yourself entangled, and you will get yourself into a lot of trouble. That's why suffering will arise, misery will arise, fear, worry, anxiety will arise. So this teaching is very wonderful. When you understand the realities, then you will actually develop the urgency to cultivate this teaching, to develop the understanding, so that you can confront them with wisdom, so that you don't have to be afflicted when you confront them. So this First Noble Truth, which is the Noble Truth of suffering, is very powerful. That's why the Buddha, under the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, First Noble Truth, he proclaimed this teaching. Through listening, you can develop the understanding. You will develop some form of wisdom, which he calls Suttamaya Panya. Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. Maya Panya is wisdom born of hearing the Sutta, which is the teachings of the Buddha. Then a certain type of wisdom will arise, and this wisdom can enable you to liberate your mind. So this first stage or first turning wisdom is useful, but it's not penetrative unless you have cultivated before. Then upon hearing, you can awaken. Otherwise, you have to go into the second turning. The second turning, the Buddha said, whatever that he has proclaimed, you have to reflect on it, contemplate into it, inquire deep into it to develop deeper understanding. When you do that, there is a type of wisdom that will arise. They call Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of the second turning, contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. And this is a very powerful inquiry. Then after that, the third turning, you will develop the meditative understanding and awakening, which they call Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of Bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative training. Under the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of suffering, which is dukkha, is to be understood. So this is the second turning inquiry that you have to ask. Why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand it? If you don't go through suffering, you cannot understand the noble truth of suffering. So whenever you are confronted with the eight type of reality, you tell yourself, it's a blessing in disguise. If I have not confronted this reality and developed the suffering, I will not understand. I will not learn. Then this second turning I cannot come to experience it. Now that I have the condition, I will make full use of it. I will reflect, contemplate into its reality, so that I can develop the clear understanding of this second turning, that this noble truth of suffering is to be understood. The moment I understand, I am free from suffering. Then the second noble truth is very powerful. He explained to you clearly the cause behind the arising of all this suffering, mainly due to your craving, born of your delusion, sakkāyadiṭṭhi, self-delusion. Then if you understand what suffering is and the cause behind, you will know how to manage your life better. You will know how to manage your life much better. Then after that, the Buddha continued. He said, there is a third noble truth that explains to you clearly enlightenment in the here and the now. Suffering need not be, the Buddha said. If you develop this understanding, this wisdom, you liberate your mind, then you can be free of all this suffering. Then you can realize Nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. And this is very important, noble truth. This is very reassuring. At least there is a goal that you can work towards, you can look forward to. If you are serious about life, you ask yourself, if I develop this understanding, my problem is all resolved. And this is the most important thing to me in life. So you will strive on with heedfulness to develop this understanding and cultivation, because it means so much to you. Not only this life, all of your future existence, when you had to come, or you choose to come, depend on this understanding, so that you need not suffer, so that you can have the good life, the beautiful life, and the meaningful life. Then after that, the Buddha moved on to the fourth noble truth, which is the last. He said, not only enlightenment is possible, there is a path. If you cultivate it, it will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path got eight noble factors. If you cultivate them, it will bring about the end of all suffering, the enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is the meditation. Because you meditate to develop clear understanding to become enlightened. So our purpose here is to train our mind so that it can cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. When you combine these two, the mind that is trained to be aware, heedful, then combine it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. The Buddha called this Appamada, or heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment, your home. So training your mind to be heedful is the most important thing that you must develop. And to develop this heedfulness, you must have the spiritual faculties. That's why the puja, your daily religious routine, they are very important. Your daily contemplation of the five daily contemplation, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, they are very important. Then once you have developed those understanding, when you come here to meditate, it's very easy. You just have to train your mind. If your mental hindrance are still there, then you need to do the skillful means of mind sweeping method combined with metta, so that you can help to decondition the heedless thinking and train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, inner well-being, and inner awareness, which is sati, mindfulness, leading to samadhi. Then you stabilize it through anapanasati, or any skillful means that you are good at. Then once you stabilize, your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, silent and just aware. And this is the meditative mind. This is how you develop the training. So how to do it? I will leave it to you to read up the blue book. Now I will let you meditate. I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that are not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then whatever movement, action you make to develop mindfulness. Okay, now we will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read to you the English translation, then after that, Ingbi will chant the invitation in Pali. Then together, we will chant the Vandana, followed by the Buddha Vandana, Dhamma Vandana, and Sangha Vandana, means salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties or the devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Iti Piso Bhagava Arahang Sammā Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sukato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Tang Veditago Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho
ยาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะติตังจัตตาริปุริสายุคานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดาคิเนโยอัญจาลิกาละเนโยอานุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกาสติสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujjhemi.ธัมมังปุจเจมิสังฆังปุจเจมิโอเค you can be seated then we can continue with our second session second session is meditation reportingfollowed by Q&A. You can ask whatever question that is related to the meditation or the Dhamma or the teaching and how to apply this teaching in your daily life so that you can develop the understanding of life to overcome whatever suffering or problem that you may encounter. Okay, now we open it up.Anybody wants to report the meditation, you can just put up your hand. Okay, I sit down. Anybody? Oh, as usual, very quiet. Or you got any question, you can ask. Otherwise, I have to look for one email. This is the next book that is going to come out.Hopefully, it will help you all. Yeah. Preview. I have to wait for it to download. Oh, so fast. Oh, okay. While you all...hesitate, I will read you the first part, which is very good. This one was based on the talk I delivered in Klang at Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house, the house Dana, on the 20th of June 2015. It is a very important talk, and it can help you understanda lot of the very important teaching. Mainly is to emphasize on mindfulness. There were conditioned then. This first part is very useful. The introduction, I said, just relax yourself. Get yourself seated and maintain some form of sadha, virya, and attentiveness. Attentiveness is silent awareness before the knowing, which is sati or mindfulness. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already in sati. So when you are attentively listening without thought,That is true listening.
That is what we call the art of listening. When you listen without verbalization, without chattering, without any reaction from your memory or knowledge, that is the silent mind listening. You just listen with an open mind. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very clearly. Then if it is something not in accordance, you will also understand, but you will not prejudge. So Dhamma is about learning how to listen, how to silence your mind more and more, and be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, you are already aware. So you don't have to try to be aware. The moment you are silent and attentive, you are already aware. So today, that was that day, before we start the Dhamma sharing, we would like to once again thank the host, Brother Sia and Sister Nancy and family, for hosting this wonderful house dana for us to have the condition to come together and partake in this, in all this wholesomeness. And together, we can also have this rather meaningful gathering of Kayanamita Kam Fellowship. Shall we rejoice together? Then they rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then I also share on the importance of precept and virtue. That's why you take refuge during the puja chanting. Then you recite the three refuges. Then after that, you renew your precepts. So the importance of precepts need to be understood, because it can help you a lot. It can bring forth great condition for good life. Without sila, your karma will fall. You will be afflicted. With sila, precepts of morality, it will strengthen your karmic nature. It will bring forth the great condition for you to have a good life. And during the time of the Buddha, somebody asked the Buddha, what is the highest protection? What do you think? Very good, virtue. But in the olden day, they always say the amulet or the fool or the whatever crystal, because they believe in all those power. The Buddha said, no, none of these will protect you. Only your virtue. When you have virtue, you have goodness, you have kindness, and the nature's law will protect you, because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. That's why you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. When you have virtue, you have goodness, you have kindness. That is your coming inheritance. When you are kind to people, good to people, generous, this is what your inheritance is. In future, when there is condition, people will be good to you, kind to you. And wealth, materialistic gain or money will come to you. This is the nature's law. So because of that, this particular topic is very important. So now I read to you part of the transcript. Precepts and virtue. I would like to thank all Kayamita who can make it to be here today to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. And at the same time, we can learn to develop more and more of these good mind states, which are very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtues are your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your whatever good mind state. They constitute wholesomeness. A person who can keep his precept has virtue, because he is incapable of negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you have no negative thoughts. That is why you cannot violate the precept. You cannot kill. You cannot harm. You cannot deceive. You cannot cheat or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate speeches that can hurt or harm people. You are not capable of consuming intoxicants that will make your consciousness very low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping your precept or cultivating virtue is the source of true happiness, true spiritual wealth, and true spiritual peacefulness of mind. The monk will chant this in Pali for you to understand after having administered the five precepts. They will chant, Imani pañcasika padani silena sugantin yanti silena boga sampadan silena nibutin yanti tasma silang visode. The meaning is, these are the five precepts. Virtue is the source of true happiness. That's why silena sugantin yanti. Then silena boga sampadan means virtue is a source of true spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth are not like materialistic wealth. It cannot be taken away, it cannot be stolen, it cannot be destroyed by calamities or whatever. So spiritual wealth are very special wealth. And silena nibbantin yanti means virtue is a source of true peacefulness of mind. You want to have peace. You want to have good mind state, you must have virtue. When you keep your precept, you have virtue, you have less problem, less trouble. You have good condition for good things to happen. Your mind are more peaceful, more calm. You got less fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. You got less enemy. You got less trouble in life. Hence, keeping precepts can bring about a lot of happiness and a lot of joy to you. You must learn how to develop this happiness and joy. Sadhu is rejoicing in the wholesomeness of others. When you are able to witness them doing all this wholesomeness, you rejoice by saying sadhu. We can rejoice in other people's generosity, their sincerity, their faith. Then seeing thou how they help prepare and offer this offering, you can also rejoice. All this can lead to a lot of wholesomeness. There is a lot of synergy too, because for cultivator who understand, they not only rejoice, but they will retain their pure wish, and in return, all those who have partake in this dana offering will also receive all these merits. Just like the monks, if you support them, they support you back in kind, in the form of their dhamma sharing via their understanding. They will rejoice, they will help you invoke the appropriate pure wish. Then they will also chant for your blessing and teach you the dhamma. In return, you receive spiritual wealth. So that is why the Buddha says, sila or virtue is not only the source of true happiness, it is also the source of great spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away, not like materialistic wealth that can disappear. Spiritual wealth is accumulated within your spiritual nature, and when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your precept of virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That is why it's a source of true peacefulness. The serene, calm and tranquil mind. The mind will have little or no restlessness and problem, because when you keep your precept, you don't harm, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't deceive, and you will not do all those wrong things. Hence, you will have fewer problems, less fear, less worry and less anxiety. So less hindrance of mind. You don't have to confront civil society's law like police case and all those crime-related issues. And because of that, you can sleep well. You don't have to worry about people coming after you to take revenge. You are more peaceful. If you violate your precept, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then when negative karma ripens, they will condition you into a lot of suffering and misery, causing your mind to become restless. That's why there is no peace within, and you become heedless. But once you keep your precept, your mind becomes more peaceful and calmer. That's why it's a source of true peacefulness. True peacefulness can bring about a lot of good mind state for you to develop the meditation. That's why after cultivating sila, samadhi will kick in. Then samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. Then after that, I continue with this explanation of what is sila, samadhi, and panya. I better stop here. Otherwise, you know everything. Wait for the book to come out. It's a very good book. It's just a simple talk in the Dhanna. But so much can be learned. Understand? But when I spoke that day, I think very few people understand the message. Very few people really heard what was spoken. Maybe you appreciate, but you never thought it can be like that. But when it's put into transcript, when you really read it, that's why all this book, I tell you, as you cultivate, you will appreciate it so much. You will have so much joy. Not until you cultivate, you can never understand what the message is. Today, what I read to you, this first two part, most of you can understand because you have cultivated for quite a while. But let's say a few years back, if I speak like that, even I read to you the transcript, very few people understand. So Dhamma is to be developed through cultivation, through understanding. The moment you understand, you will appreciate, you will have a lot of joy. Then it will strengthen your faith, your spiritual faculties. Then it will make you different. That's why faith is very important. Sada, the spiritual faculty of faith in the Buddha and his teaching, in yourself, confidence, self-confidence. Then have faith in the Buddha and his teaching through understanding who he is, how special his teaching is all about. And all this can give rise to a lot of faith. And through this understanding, you will have a lot of gratitude, a lot of respect for the Buddha. Then you will develop a lot of understanding of life. Then you start to appreciate life. You start to develop a lot of clear understanding, leading to all the contentment in life, the happiness in life, the joy, the peacefulness. Then there is clarity to understand things clearly. Then you start to develop more and more heedfulness to understand who you are, what you are, to insight into all the essential Dhamma and also the universal characteristics of nature. That's why this Friday talk is very good. They choose four topics. And I was so surprised. All the four topics are so relevant and so good. They are like one package. And I can feel that Brother Gan was able to choose this topic because he, I think, if I'm not wrong, recently he must have read the notes, the transcript, and listened to the Dhamma. Well, these are all the inquiry that I spoke in the teaching. In the sharing, I emphasize on them all. The first topic he chose is Bodhi heart and spiritual cultivation, because at the gathering of Kayamita, he heard the song Pamasuri chose Sun Sun Puthui Puthi Sing, means you determine to cultivate the Bodhi heart, and you will vow not to regress life after life from this Bodhi mind. Because to cultivate, you need the Bodhi mind. That's why in the Diamond Sutta, they asked the Buddha, if you want to be a Bodhisattva, If you want to walk this way, how should one dwell? The Buddha said you must dwell with your true mind, nothing else. Your true mind is the Bodhi mind. Yeah. Bodhi is enlightenment. That's why the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree. Then he became enlightened. That's why that tree is called a Bodhi tree, tree of enlightenment. So a Bodhi mind is a mind that is capable of awakening. Not the mundane mind, not the heedless mind. Then after that, he also heard in the teaching, you must ask for repentance, forgiveness, and all those things. Otherwise, what happened? You don't do that. The nature's law, you don't know what type of nonsense you have committed in the past. You have been born and died for so many lives. Aeons and aeons of birth and death, billions and billions of segmented life. None of them are you. And during those segmented life, how much nonsense has living being cultivated, committed? The coming negativity. You can count them, I think. The ocean. It's not big enough to store all of your karmic offense. The four oceans is not enough. So because of that, you don't ask for repentance, forgiveness. This karmic negativity is going to come back and haunt you in the form of karmic obstruction. Karmic debt. That's why repentance is a very important teaching. The Mahayana stress a lot on it. Theravada only spoke a little bit, no, not much explanation. They just put in the chanting book. Kayena vacca cittena pahamadena maya kattanga chayankama me bande puri panya tathagata. They only ask for forgiveness from the enlightened being. You can develop clear understanding of it and modify it to suit and to overcome all your karmic obstruction. Because when you have karmic obstruction, they really obstruct you. And when you are obstructed, it's just like when you are being obstructed. You cannot move. You cannot do anything. Even people want to help you, they cannot help you. Because that coming obstruction, as long as it's not watered down or broken off through repentance, no amount of condition can help you overcome it, break through it. When the obstruction is no more there, they're very easy to help that living being. But when the coming obstruction is there, it's very difficult, very, very difficult. Because it will obstruct them from listening, from understanding, from even willing to give it a try. Then the third one is also very important. The importance of having good Dhamma friends, Kayanamitas. Yeah. In the text, normally is translated as admirable friend. Yeah. For us, it's Dhamma friend who walks the path of Dhamma. Then I used to explain there are two types. One is just the cultivator, not awakened yet. But they are very determined because they have made their vow. They have developed the undertaking to walk this way. So that's why they are admirable friends. They keep the precept. They determine to cultivate. They are very sincere. They try their very best to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. They try to develop understanding. And the other one is those already enlightened. Dhamma friend who already awakened has the Dhamma. These are the real Dhamma friend. You can find one. You're very lucky, the Buddha said. And during the Buddha's time, there was a sutta that explained this. when somebody mentioned about the importance of Kayanamita to cultivate the spiritual path, to walk the path of Dhamma, Ananda knew it was very important because it was stated in the sutta, one of the criteria to be a Sotapan, first stage of sainthood, is to have good Dhamma friends. Then Ananda thought, he wanted to show off that he also understand. He said, having Dhamma friend is 50% of the holy life. The Buddha reprimanded him. He said, who say 50%? He said, having Dhamma friend is 100% of the holy life. That's why you must have Dhamma friend. He said, and of all the Dhamma friends, he said, the Tathagata is the most outstanding. And because of that, he said, if you have noble friends, or Kayanamita that has the Dhamma, they will lead you to the right cultivation. They will lead you to heedfulness to cultivate noble effort. That's why all these three topics are related to cultivation. Then the last one is, he wants to know how to develop the training to see things as they are, to awaken, to liberate the mind. So these four come together as a package. So I say, good, very good topic. Then he texts me back, Brother Steele, which one? Then he put there, all with a question mark, A-L-L, question mark. I said, yes, all. he was so surprised. Then he thought, four topics how to cover. All these are very elaborate topics. But they are all connected as one. That's why you have to cover them simultaneously. So that's why I say, all this like meant to be. The condition keep on arising. It just fall into place. And Klang is a place, I don't know why. A lot of good talk there. All the good transcript come from there, most of the time. Sometimes, once a while, you have Wu Ping Jing Se there, then Tuesday class, then Thursday class. But the Klang talk, I just go there once a month to give talk, not every week. But all the talk turn out to be so beautiful, very likely because of the Kuan Yin there. The Kuan Yin is very unique. The first day I went there, remember, I was drawn to that Kuan Yin. Before I pay respect, inside tell me, you supposed to come long ago. Then I just rejoice. I say, yeah, I'm already here. That's why I pay respect. Then Brother Gan observed. He said, what do you refund here? You come, you don't pay respect to Buddha first, you go to Kuan Yin straight away. Then I smile, because this nature has a lot of affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. It's not because I pay respect to Kuan Yin first, I don't respect Sakyamuni. It's not like that. You pay respect to whoever you have affinity with and respect, great respect. And Sakyamuni Buddha is also a very special being, foremost in wisdom. And his Dhamma is fantastic, I tell you. If you can understand his teaching, even 1%, I tell you, you are very outstanding. You can become 1% of what the Sama Sambuddha is. You are wonderful. But most of you can, because of your sincerity, your faith. Okay, anybody want to report meditation or ask question? Ah, very good, Pastor Mike. I forgot your name. I think. I know you are Christina's schoolmate, a good friend. Yeah, I think. Yes, push it up all the way.
Yes. Three-quarter way of during my meditation.
Yes. You mean today? Very good.
Suddenly I feel instant gush of blood. I feel very warm.
Yeah.
Then just that instant,
I know.
For 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Then suddenly, I can feel like the heat slowly releases.
Yeah,
from
dissipate.
My body.
Dissipate.
And I feel much
peaceful,
yeah.
More calm. Very good.
Why is it so?
No, it's very normal. It's very natural. Because when you are in the midst of a cultivator, when you are in a way place, where the energy and the nature here is very different. If you have faith, if you're silent, your mind will settle down. Then your body, being a physical aspect, the consciousness is a mental aspect. This form and mind will harmonize, stabilize. Then it will help you in whatever way that is deemed appropriate. So this surge in like blood flow and heat and warmth is what you need. What your body and mind need. Then after that, you feel good. When it dissipates, you feel calm, peaceful. Then you should be able to meditate. You maintain your faith, you will benefit. Because when the faith is there, all this energy, this nature, they are ever radiating for the sincere cultivator of the way. When you have faith, when you have this, what they call sincerity, and when you persevere, it will come and support you. As I always say, the great beings, all of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, their nature, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. Wherever you are, if you have that ability to tap, their nature will arise and you will tap. One of my teachers used to tell me in the previous life when she was cultivating. She was doing these 9 stages of 7-3 contemplation, meditation as a monk at that life. But this life she was born as a woman. She said when she was meditating there for many months, all of a sudden, one day, the nature came. Then it went in. Then her nature, that time he was a monk, his nature also arose. Then there was so much joy, then it connected. Then she came to realize, the nature came to realize that even in the Chana ground, understand, the Buddha nature is there, ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. That's why she used to share with us. He said, if you are a cultivator, you will understand all this. That's why later on when I developed the cultivation, I not only understand, I experienced that. That's why I went on spiritual trip and I benefited so much. That's why I also take people on spiritual trip because I see the value, I see the importance. I saw the great condition that can arise, that can bring forth very, very strong and powerful spiritual faculty and faith. Then you can have affinity with these various beings' nature. Especially when you travel to those way places where they already there before, their nature, their environment, everything, they are very conducive. Then when you are there with the faith, you will connect. Then the condition is such, you will know how to go. The timing, everything. When you are ready, then when you are there, a lot of things will happen, it will manifest. Most of you may not know, but some of you who already travel with me for quite some time, they start to understand and they start to experience them too. In fact, this Puto Santri, many Kayamita experienced it and they contacted me and shared with me and rejoiced together with me. I also rejoiced because it was so wonderful. That's why when you have faith, when you develop the cultivation and understanding, your mind is so different. Like that day, did I share with you all? I think I have shared, I cannot remember. one of the Kayamita used to tell me is it, sometimes it's so difficult to explain to people, is it? Because people used to ask her, hey, why you every week, Tuesday class you go, Thursday class you go, Sunday class you go, what makes you keep on going? You're not tired on her. You're not boring on her. You know how she answered, how can it be boring, is it? I got so much joy listening to the Dhamma. I was so attentive and the mind becomes so different, the understanding becomes so different, everything is like becomes so different. So how to explain to people? Unless you experience all this on your own, you can never appreciate. So last time, a lot of them, because they are new, they couldn't quite follow. So first time they come, most of them are blur, they don't know a lot of these so-called Pali words. Unlike that day, I think Clifford spoke to me after the talk that Thursday. No, that was very good, I think. Now I understand how their mind state are. Is it radio? Is it your talk is very different, is it? What he experienced in daily life, he said, is when he discussed with people or family member or in the office, one sentence means one sentence, understand? He said, here, one word is so many sentences. And sometimes I cannot even describe that word. Then I know. I said, yeah, it's like that. Because these are new to him, understand? But don't worry, Clifford, slowly it will go in. Then when it go in, you will have the joy. Because when you understand, you become very different. The whole understanding will transform you. Then you have so much joy, so much faith. Then there is so much transformation in you. Your whole of your being, your energy field, your mind state, your character, your personality, your understanding. You become so different, so beautiful. Then you become like a blessing to all after that, because through your cultivation, through your understanding, you appreciated life so much more, you understand life so much more, then all of your life will become transformed, no longer like before, like habitual tendency, automatic response, no more. You have clarity, just now in the car, Alicia shared with me, he said, so strange, how do I explain to people? He said, nowadays the mind is so different. Whatever thing happened is not like last time, panic, react, cannot already, he said. Cannot even stir or move. Then there is so much peace inside there, so much understanding. Then he said, even certain things that happen, the mind is no more like before, easily excitable. Or easily become fearful, panicky. Then the mind become like very calm with a lot of clarity. Then there's a lot of equanimity. Then you just know what to do, you just know how to act. It does not panic, react and stir anymore. The habitual tendency like gone. Then it has so much clarity and understanding. That's why the actual cultivation is not there. Then 2 days back, Tuesday class, I think you must go and listen to that talk. There's a sharing by Sister Elsie, Alicia's good friend. She has progressed so much. She realized the mind sweeping method was so important, so beautiful. Make her mind so calm, so peaceful. Last time she used to have discussion group and other things. Then they learn meditation about themselves. But he don't understand what was going on. He couldn't develop meditation until he came. Then her faith very strong. And because of her faith, she maintained that confidence. She listened to my Dhamma sharing. that read up the transcript, then she meditate accordingly. Then she came to realize this mind sweeping method is so powerful, it makes her mind so calm, so peaceful, overcome the hindrance, bring forth the spiritual faculty, and she can now meditate so well, with a lot of clarity, calmness, joy within, inner awareness, and the mind like little or no thought. Then nowadays, no need mind sweeping method, straight away sit down, peaceful already, calm, aware, still already. Oh, that is what the meditation is all about. Then she can describe it so well. She had so much joy to share because she wanted people to benefit from it too. Because she discovered this herself. Then later on she said, she discussed with Alicia after the talk, after the sharing. Because those who are there, you know, she appeared like with so much clarity and calmness, and confidence, and she just know what to say, Even I interrupt in between to explain, she was just very composed. Then when I asked her to continue, she just continued with the calmness, the composure and all those things, and the clarity. Then there was so much joy. Then after that thing, he discussed with Alicia. During dinner, Alicia just told me. He said, Elsie is here. She was very surprised. No, how come that day, first time he shared, he didn't get excited or panic or what? Why nowadays now? Like very calm, very composed. There is so much understanding. So Alicia laughed. Yeah, like that one, when you transform it, you understand the Dhamma. The mind is like that. Then this Kumoy also used to say, that day she was at my office, she heard one Dhamma talk, I think, by another monk. Then you know what her comment was. He said, how come the monk speak like in a hurry like that one? Like everything very fast. I said, why you comment like that? He said, I hear your talk, you're very calm, very composed, and you're very steady. And he said, oh. Then I told her, I said, yeah, you're observant, but you have to listen, you don't prejudge. Because if there is Dhamma, you also have to listen. Because some people are used to speaking in a different tone and different way. They can be very fast. Yeah. But you will understand as you listen. That's why you don't prejudge. Means you allow that person to allow you to develop the understanding. So you listen attentively. Then you will understand, like just now I read to you the opening introduction, how to develop attentiveness of mind, the silent mind, to listen attentively. That is the art of listening with an open mind. You don't prejudge. Then you listen without chattering, without the mind trying to come in and interfere, without the conditioning, without your views and opinion coming in to interfere, then you are not listening. Understand? That's why silent, choiceless awareness of what is the reality. So all these are very beautiful. So now, coming back to your question, I answered earlier on about the energy. Then anything else? No, sadhu, we rejoice with Aiping. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Good. At least you ask, it arises a condition for me to explain. So a lot of these things, unless you ask, there's no condition to explain them. Okay, now, anybody else? You should make use of this opportunity because these are once a week window. You got only this 1 hour window. Now you got 35 minutes left. Pang is very good. Pang is very steady. Every time report very good question and ask very good question. Sadhu. Yeah, Pang.
Sadhu. Bertil, when I'm doing the Anapanasati, after some time, I get very calm. And instead of the attention going down to the heart, it is around my head. And I can feel
which part of your head?
The top of my head.
Okay, I know. Energy build up.
And can feel it getting stronger and stronger, and the vibration becomes stronger and stronger.
What do you do?
So I just silent and try to be with it. But it becomes stronger and stronger.
I know. You have to remember this one. The four support. First one is what? Use the mic. Use the mic. Relax.
Relax.
You forgot this step. Relax into every mind state that arises. If you don't relax, you say be with it means what? You maintain awareness. But the awareness that is not relaxed can become concentration. Understand? Where you don't know how to be with it. You actually focus without knowing. Because wherever you arise, the mind, energy will build up. You don't relax into it. So relaxation is very important. But don't worry. Initially experience it. You will go into jhana. The energy will build up. Then you will push out from your head here. But just experience it if it comes. But the key is, if you relax into it, then it will disperse. Understand not? The reason why you say it doesn't go down to the heart is because you maintain attention here. Because anapanasati is at your nostril. Then as this build up, the energy build up within your parasympathetic nerve. That's why when your backbone is straight, all this qi from the tan tian, it will push it up. Then you will go to your brain. And this is where your chakra is. And from there, you will push it up. But don't worry, because these are meditative experiences that you will go through. But if you do it without understanding, then it can go into energy field. Understand? But nothing to worry, you can experience it. If it's something you have done before in your past, you will recollect very fast. Then you will straight away experience many, many things. My first group of Dharma students that I taught, a lot of them energy field. They just follow my instruction. Then after a while, the energy came. Then they are different people. Some, they straight away go up to fourth jhana, straight away stabilize them. Some, they go up to eighth jhana. Some, they go to second. Stop. Yeah. And most of them is first, second, then drop back again. But don't worry. Whatever that arises, just relax into it, silent. Yeah. But this energy field, you have to be careful. If you are older, because you are not so elastic like when you are young. So if the energy is too strong, if they cannot cope, sometimes it will give them problem, because the blood vessel inside, when you are already old, it cannot maintain the type of energy. It can cause it to burst or rupture. So energy field is something you can experience, but don't go all the way, because it will lead you to energy field. What you need is to develop wisdom and understanding. That's why meditation is about cultivating wisdom, vipassana, to insight into the characteristics of nature, not to dwell into energy field that make you excited, that make you in a way deluded because you think you have accomplished or achieved something that people cannot do. Fantastic. So then later on when this one go out, you can have a lot of psychic ability too. Oh, then you can have the astral mind travel. Then you go into energy field. Then you deviate and lost track. But a lot of cultivator, even monk, especially monk, a lot of them went into energy field without understanding and knowing. But this is what law of karma is about. in your past you have that tendency. This life you come back, you will also have that tendency. That's why certain kids you realize they are gifted in certain special ability, like they are very good in piano or musical instrument or even games. Whenever they see all these items, they will naturally have this tendency to play, and they will be very good at it in no time. It's because they have cultivated and perfected it in the past. Then you inherit them. That's why you are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition, supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. That's why this life, my nature, when it arises, it cannot touch energy field. It experienced them during my early days. I went into it. I went into absorption. I experienced them. Then later on, I know this is not the way. That's why I reversed my cultivation. I developed daily mindfulness. Then this one, from Anapanasati, slowly after a while, this long breath, they will slow down. Because as you relax, it's silent. The energy will all dissipate. Then you just relax and maintain awareness at the in and out breath. You don't maintain awareness at the energy field there. The energy build how you maintain attention here, the energy will be stronger because all of your life force energy you put it there. Because this mind is like a conduit to channel that life force energy and so on. And most of the time, living beings who have not trained their mind, they think a lot, they are heedless. So this life force energy, you wasted it a lot in the thought process. Understand? That's why when you study for exam, you use a lot of energy and you realize you have to eat a lot when you memorize things, when you commit to memory before exam. Last time I remember, I saw a lot of students, exam time, cannot grow fat on. There were two sisters from Terengganu, I remember. Oh, very strange. Immediately after the exam, they were so slim, so pretty. After the 3-4 month holiday, come back first term, oh, the size become, you won't believe. Really? These two ladies was introduced to me by a Terengganu classmate. I think Sui An know here, So Vi Chong, Mi Fong also know here. I think the two are his cousin, sister, or friend, I forgot already. You really don't believe, because no need to prepare for exam, no need to concentrate, no need to stress yourself out. So, the mind is like that. If you waste it on the thought, it takes up a lot of the energy, then you cannot use it to meditate. The other thing is, if you use it to arise emotion, like your fear, your anxiety, your sorrow, these are all emotions, and it's a very strong mental states. Then even your excitement and all those things, this one draw a lot of the life force energy. That's why those who think a lot, they dissipate a lot of this very, very important life force energy. That's why if you are a meditator, you are a cultivator, you know how to silence your mind, relax, and just aware. You recuperate very fast because your this life force energy, most of it will go into your nature. Then this nature will do its work without resistance and etc. You know what is the one that resists your nature from healing you? At night you're supposed to sleep and rest. Then that life force heal you, understand? But what you do is you think a lot. You got a lot of phobia, nightmare, subconscious phobia, unreleased type of phobia. Even in your sleep you dream, understand? You release so much thought inside there. Those who are mindful, you do lying down meditation, you can see your thought non-stop. They arise during the early day. Most people are so heedless. That's why when you meditate, you will know what heedlessness is. this type of habitual thinking, respond to memory, keep on coming out, cannot stop. So, initially it's here, the brain here. Then later on you realize here also the chattering, the emotion, the like and dislike, the duality, all this movement is so strong inside and it takes up so much energy. But when you know how to meditate, you relax, silence. Then all this melt inside, then become pure energy. And then you open up your chakra, it heal you. Then like you recuperate very fast. You can sleep very well. You don't have insomnia and all those things. Then you need very little sleep. Then like Elsie was trying to share, is it? Last time, she just too tired and she just slept through and wake up also not fresh or groggy. Nowadays, as she lie down, because she do the meditation, the daily religious routine, then when she lie down, she meditate and sleep. She need very little sleep. She used to nowadays wake up at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Then sometimes already enough, no need to rest already. Then you know what she do. She listen to my Dhamma talk. Or that time go in, we got clarity and the nature was very quiet. That's why she find joy in doing all that. And she's not tired and she's so fresh nowadays. And she can do so much thing with so much clarity. You should listen to that sharing. So this is what Dhamma is all about. If you do it correctly, it's very beautiful. So you don't worry. You want to experience what jhana is, you go and do. Never mind, it's okay. It's not dangerous or what. It's not, as long as you understand, you just see how it manifests. But this is what mind is all about. Wherever you locate that mind, it will build up energy. That's why those people going, no. You put in mental energy, understand? This is not mindfulness. This is mental energy. You may use the word be with it, understand? But actually you are not be with it. You are actually allowing your mind to stay there. And that one will build up the energy. Be with it means silent. Don't do anything, understand? Don't even try to know. But you say the moment you stay there, the energy keep on building up. That's why you say you cannot come down here. You don't have to force it to come down here. You just continue with mindfulness of in and out breath. You're supposed to do anapanasati, you end up doing energy field. That's not without you knowing it. That is what most people get trapped. Because no release. This energy that build up, they got no release. Then my last teacher told me there is a gateway here to release. That's why I cut short my cultivation by at least 10 to 15 years. Otherwise, for me to locate this, it will take quite a while. Then all these people, you know, if they don't know this gateway, they don't know how to release, you know what they do or not. That's why those who are good, they radiate loving kindness and metta, so that this energy become wholesome, radiate out. Then all the animals can feel them very strong. Then there is a type of pure energy coming out. Then as they do this, they open up the heart. They open up the heart. Then one day, if they know how to silence and relax, they will connect. Then they will go in. But normally it takes very long. And you don't know, you love doing it. You will continue to do it. Then those who cannot release it through metta or what, the easiest way is what? To do jhana. Then all the energy you get. Channel into jhana, understand? Or then you develop psychic. Then you go and read mind, you go and perform magic, but you forgot the Dhamma. That's how a lot of people get trapped. Then some, they interpret the teaching differently. They go and interpret the jhana as samadhi, understand? If jhana is samadhi, then no need samadhi. Straight away make it very clear, samajana, understand? The Noble Eightfold Path Factor, the seventh one. Oh no, the last one. Just straight away put samajana, everybody knows it's jhana. But it's not. The Buddha put it specifically samadhi. Samadhi is the stability of mind, collectedness of mind, unwavering mind, clarity of mind. Then from samadhi come equanimity, the last factor of enlightenment. Well, when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, not through the memory, conditioning and other things. There is the direct seeing. You see things as they are, and because of that, you awaken, you understand. When you see things as they are, you see truth, you see the reality. You don't see with the conditioning and all those things. So then direct seeing will allow you to develop the wisdom. And that wisdom will enable you to be at peace with all conditions and things. That's why it makes your mind equanimous, equanimity. It does not stir, it does not sway, it does not become agitated, it does not waver. So the seven factors of enlightenment, when they fall into place, you will awaken, because they will bring about enlightenment. Okay? So now you understand. So you continue with the anapanasati, relax into it. The more you relax, the more peaceful and more calm, then it becomes very blissful. Then later on, it becomes very quiet, very still. No movement, no thought. Means you stabilize already. When that capacity happens, you just relax and silent. Then that time the breathing, like little or no breathing. Then that time you don't do anything, you just silent everything. Then not long, after a while, when the mind enters a deep, very strange, you develop the higher awareness, the higher mindfulness, the more refined sati. Then you can actually detect the breathing again. The very fine subtle breathing last time that you cannot detect. Now with the more refined sati, because your mind has entered sati, then you can experience the breathing. Then the breathing, like no breathing, but to you is very clear, very clear. It's still breathing, but very subtle, very, very subtle. Then later on, you realize any movement in your body, that thing is magnified, magnified. Then later on, wherever you locate this mind, you realize this mind has such clarity because it's silent. It's peaceful because pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, fully aware without thought. No chattering, nothing, very quiet, very still. That's why all the things become very subtle. Your breathing become very subtle. Your whole mind state become very subtle. Like no movement inside there. But don't panic, you know. You will not die. Even no heartbeat also don't panic. It's like that. You will go down until very quiet, very still. Until the life force is so still. And then one day you will cease. You enter cessation, which is Nibbana. You will experience it. Initially, it's just a glimpse, a moment. Very powerful. You already know what that thing is. Then you will awaken. Then later on, as you stabilize, this experience will become more and more. Then during that time, very strange, wherever you locate this mind, it becomes very clear. Then you just bring it down to the heart area and feel. Then you will detect all the heartbeat, all the vibration, everything. Then later on, it will become more and more refined, more and more refined. So then you just silent, relax, and still. Then there is a gateway you open by yourself. Then all of a sudden, you realize all of your energy, yin and yang, they will melt inside. It is like something very soothing, drawn inside. Initially, it's like the baby, like something sucking inside, draw inside. And you feel very good, it's very soothing and very still. That time your whole body and mind becomes so still, really still. Like no thought, no movement, nothing inside there. Still. Then you will realize anatta, that there is nobody inside there. Then a lot of things can happen. Then as you relax, the yin and yang, they will go through this gateway. As they go through this gateway, they become pure energy. Then this pure energy will do its work. That's why trust, that time the fourth support is trust. You don't use your thought anymore. You don't direct your energy anymore. You don't do anything. You just silent, relax like a dead man. Then it will open up. But you are fully aware. Whatever you need to open up, it will open up. Then how the gas is released. That's why you will fart a lot. And from where the gas accumulate and how it come out, you will know. You have clarity about this entire body and mind. Then this afternoon there was another Kayamita. Why old lady on? She told me, what do you know, dear? She lie down and do meditation. And he said, the mind is so different now. The awareness is so clear. She can now feel how her blood flow. The movement inside the vein and the artery and all. It's like that one. That's why I say, if you don't do until that understanding or that experience to report, there are so much more things that I understand, I cannot share with you, understand, unless you have the ability to do it. That's why nowadays more and more Kayamita experience, that's why in the Clang Talk, I go deeper into the deeper part of mindfulness. I taught Dale how to do the real daily mindfulness, how to experience the sati without a center, spacious awareness without a center. Then how to develop the specific phenomenal awareness, starting with physical, mental, then nature's phenomena, all this. Then later on, as people progress, then I can share more and more things. Like this year, I shared the Bodhisattva way, and I was also very surprised because the condition was such. So many of them suddenly like very interested, and the condition just arise. Because the consciousness has evolved, many, many things has happened without you all knowing it. That's why later on when you all transform, you will start to understand. Even now, a lot of Kayamita start to have that understanding and joy. They have a lot of gratitude. A lot of this, what they call inner peace, inner joy, inner happiness. Then they experience so many different things that they never experienced before. That's why I explained to those few people who asked me. Oh, there was one man, God, a song. So man also God. They are also under. So you don't worry, your time will come. Then when they experience all those things, that's why I explained to them, I used to tell you, beyond thought, beyond mind. That's a thought-based meditation. You cannot progress because you cannot break through. You hold on to your thought, you are dead. That's why all this comes from the silent mind. If you have not developed the silent mind, you cannot experience all this because you are not sensitive enough. When you are busy thinking, heedless, you are not silent, you cannot be sensitive. Even the very simple explanation in the blue book, remember I teach you how to feel the floor, cold or hot. I say you just put your hand there, feel. The trouble with people is the example very good. Ask you to feel, you look at the hand, the concept and the idea come out. You don't feel the hand and the idea of hot and cold come out. If you feel means what? No thought or no, you just feel silent. The moment you are silent, you become so sensitive. All of the phenomenal and tactile consciousness and the movement, there are no words, you feel them, you experience them, and there is so much clarity. But the moment you have a lot of thought going on, you can never feel, you are not sensitive at all. Then like that person asks, how to feel? Then he say, I cannot feel. Because he straight away see the hand. Ask him to feel, he perceiving. Then he uses his thought to feel, to understand. Cannot. So a lot of these things, you need to develop understanding to experience it. And this is so gross now, feel with the hand. When your entire mind in your meditation, you have to silence and feel. there is a different one. That's why you do the mind sweeping method correctly, you will experience that sudden peace, sudden stillness and quietness. Where all of a sudden your heedless thinking like deconditioned already, no more chattering, no more the heedless thinking, the respond to memory, all suddenly like slowly cease. Then when you do the mind sweeping method correctly, you realize you become very quiet very fast within 5-10 minutes. Yeah. That's what healthy experience. And it's very effective. And straight away you become very quiet. And that is the silent mind. But you have to maintain the stability of it. So you cannot be every time mind sweeping method, understand? Then you cannot live life, understand? That's why the Buddha say you go into anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. At least develop mindfulness of in and out breath easier than sweeping all this. When you sweep, you cannot live life. But when you are aware of the breathing, you can still see, hear, perceive, and live. That's why it's good for daily mindfulness. Anapanasati. But anapanasati is a training. Always remember, skillful means. It's not a meditation. It's a skillful means to stabilize your mindfulness, your awareness. So after you have done that, don't be gullible. Don't think that if I don't do anapanasati, I'm not meditating. Then you get trapped again. Then you continue to do anapanasati. And who is doing? The thought always want to do. But anapanasati is to train the mind to stabilize it. The moment you have stabilized, you don't have to do. Like mind sweeping method. The moment your stability or the spiritual faculty, the sati is there, you don't have to do the mind sweeping method because you are already in sati. You will come to understand all this. Then later on, this will again transform. When your mindfulness is very stable until your mind is already in sati, why must you do anapanasati anymore? Your mind is already in sati. Everything you see is in sati. The specific phenomena, when everything you hear is sati. Everything you smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think is in sati. Your mind is already in sati. You are naturally in sati. Means you are heedful. You can understand many, many things already. So when you are already heedful, you somehow go and note rising, falling, do anapanasati for one. Because you don't understand their purpose. It's just a skillful means to stabilize it. Then after that, like I say, maintain that mind state and bring it forth into the daily life. That's why the Buddha said, after anapanasati, what you do? Yeah? Mindfulness or what? Four pusher. Do that. Then after that, sati sampajana. That is the meditation. Asana. That's why don't go and focus here, focus there, and build out energy. The Buddha never asked you to do that. Even in the Anapanasati Sutta, he never asked you to do that. He just asked you to develop the four foundations of mindfulness. Starting from the kaya, then go into the feeling, then the citta. It's always about the daily mindfulness, four posture. Then only you can reflect and contemplate on the four elements, the 32 parts. The 9 stages of cemetery decomposition. So nowadays, because technology and civilization has bring forth the condition for recording to be recorded so conveniently, and we should thank Sri Anna who buy the recorder very good, very clear. The recording came out very clear. Last time, the early day, my first band, you know what they do? They buy cassette tape. I tell you, there was a hell of a time. The cassette tape, after many times, it get entangled inside there. Then your recorder also pine. Then they record until the tape head also not sensitive. Pine. Then after a long time, didn't listen, the thing inside there cannot move. cannot even rotate. Then when they listen, the background sound all go in. That's why now technology improve. Then this one can store so much talk. Last time, one talk, two tape. must buy 90-minute one, some more 60-minute pre-tape. We have 2 hours, 3 hours. So all this has actually improved. That's why nowadays you all take for granted. You should actually thank Suyan for coming out with all these beautiful things. And it's not expensive. And he know how to source for all these things. First time he showed me that black fellow, I don't know, I thought microphone to speak on. Then I saw him, press, got a red light come out. Oh, recording. Yeah, the Dropbox have a lot. Initially, it was another one we used. That one not big enough. The Dropbox is big enough. Initially, I remember he introduced something else to us. Then later on, Dropbox is very useful. Actually, you are very lucky, very blessed. The civilization advancement of technology come at the right time and the right place, for the right reason. That's how I saw, everything just fall into place. The Rupang also come, everything also come. Then my house, you all gathering your Kayamata, send the Milo for my Thai Buddha. That two followers very cute. Originally, I already got a wooden one there. Somebody put it there. I think Jin Hao, yours, the wooden one. Or Asu, yeah. Or the New Zealand one, the Su. The wooden one, that one very cute. That was the first Maitreya in my house. Then the Kayamita bought one. You all should thank Joyce. She bought it at Putosan. Oh, Shanghai, not Putosan. The Putosan tree at Shanghai. Then that was offered. Oh, that one was really laughing Buddha. Then Mimi one, wow, lucky style. That one. Oh, with the joy and Maitreya. Actually, these three great beings, the affinity is very strong. Kuan Yin, Sakyamuni, and Maitreya. You all should thank Maitreya. He was the one, 2008, requested my nature to share this teaching, this true understanding. That's why that time my nature was new. Why of all people he came for me? Then inside I knew, this teaching is very difficult to come by. Very few people can understand. That's why I say, you don't worry, you are the Sammasambuddha, I told him, I spoke to him. I said, you don't have to request, because he used such diplomatic word, or very courteous word, 请你把正法传下去. I said, you are the Sammasambuddha, just instruct, this nature will do already. No need to please, 请你, must invite you to share the truth. No need, I say, you just instruct, go and share. So because of that, the condition fall into place. Otherwise, Thursday class, clan group cannot come because of him. They're very funny, After he make the request, after I agree, the first batch, something happened. Then there was a split. Then I got more time. Then I said, like that. Okay. Then all the invitation come back again. Then I started to go to give talk again. Then suddenly Suyan called me. One of the speakers cannot make it. That day's talk. They need to replace somebody emergency, very urgently. Then Brother Jim asked around. Then suddenly Suyan remembered me. He talked to Brother Jim and said, can I invite Brother Jim? I said, can. Then that day I went, Brother Jim was the MC, Ingby husband. The moment he heard the talk, he told Suyan Lily, I think, book me for the year. That's how I end up here. Then after that, I remember Ingby and Mi Fong. I think there was one talk, the second talk, I think I delivered there. He was listening attentively. Then after the talk, she came out smiling. That time I didn't even know who she was. He smiled to me and said, Oh, but you talk very unique, very good. He said, within the 1 to 2 hours, you can summarize all the Buddha's teaching inside the talk. Oh, then I just smile. Then after that, he said, where do you teach meditation? Oh, I said, yeah. Then he said, can teach us? I said, yeah. Then me phone worried. Then later on, I said, don't worry, even one person I will also teach as long as that person is sincere. Oh, that's how the Thursday class start. Then Mi Feng and Ying Bi, they say, where to have it? He pointed out to Mi Feng, hold it at your house. Then Mi Feng said, two of us only get Sui An. So, three. But Sui An very smart, SMS. The first day got a few. Then after that, the class start to grow. That's why all meant to be. And I tell you, it's very difficult to maintain such interest for 6 years. I think it's 6 years already. Normally, after 1-2 years, you see less and less people. Then after that, last time Sui An used to tell me, Brother, don't stop the class, otherwise the momentum go down, less people come. I said, never mind, just let things be. Let the condition manifest. Then it just fall into place. Then later on, they come and tell me a different thing. I say, but the ocean sound not big enough. Well, there were certain cases of sea until statues there. I said, never mind, just let things be, because whatever will be. It will just evolve by itself. Nature has its way. You don't try to plan for nature. No planning is the best planning. Understand? Planning is from the thought, from the memory. That's why when you try to predict something, or you try to like make a decision in life, oh, I have to summarize this. I used to explain to Gu Moi, because she used to come to my office and talk to me. I say, you know why people make mistakes? Because sometimes opportunity come, you will also miss it. Because you use memory, you use the past to actually perceive the present. You are not looking at the reality in the here and the now. No. You don't have an open mind. You already have the conditioning. You prejudge through your memory. Then what happens is, when you are told something, you think you know. Then you say, no, this one. Let's say, because he used to discuss stock market with me. Then he used to tell me how she missed all those stocks that I sometimes told her. Like last time, there was one stock, Prolexus. He said, doing garment in China some more. So people have very negative perception of this type of industry and company. Then you know what happened? The moment I tell him, I said, this is a very good stock. Buy some and give. He asked, what they do? He said, I told her garment. Where is the factory? China. He straight away, no. This one, I am not interested. Then you know what happened? That stock, when I start buying 60 over cent, now today is equivalent to 8 something. Then you know at what price he went in? 220. 60 cent didn't buy. 220 buy. But still make money. That's why I explained to her, I said, you know why? You use memory. You perceive it with negativity. Because the reality in the here and the now can be very different, understand? That's why you don't prejudge what you see and what you perceive. All these things will not happen. Have an open mind. Look at it, understand? Because what I tried to tell her, she didn't listen, no. I said, this company recently turned around. I saw the quarterly report. Last time, don't make money on this company. Sometimes lose money, sometimes make a little bit of money. Then all of a sudden, one quarter, the result came out, they start to make money, you know. They start to make 1 or 2 million, you know, per quarter. Then at first we thought, one off. I read the account, no, not one off, it was from operation. Then second quarter, again the result maintained very well. That time 60%, people don't give value. Oh, then I say buy. I start accumulating. Buy. Then later on, it moved to 80%. You know what she told me? You only bought 60%, 80%, the one lah. Wait till it drop back. Then never buy. Then later on, 220, he jump in. But luckily make money. So, the preconceived idea was the one that caused her to make that decision. I don't know. Because you don't have an open mind. You don't see the reality. If you have analyzed that stock based on the quarterly result that come out, then it's different. Then later I call up my friend Sam. Last time, together with me in Mitrajaya, he's the accountant, financial controller. He's very good at accounting. So I say, you check this company. Well, after he check, he said, very clean company, very good company. He said, real turnaround company. He said, he still hide his profit. He don't want to pay so much tax. Oh, they can read and they can understand account how accountant hide profit. He said, that's why you must meditate until you can see how people hide their feelings and emotions. it's just like accounting book. He open out the account. He can know what the accountant is trying to do. It's just like we are engineer. We go into project. I want to check your project very easy. You cannot run on this. I just go through the contract, go through the BQ, then I go through the accounting IFCA system. They will track everything. And any hanky-panky on the side, I know. That's why this is understanding. It's no magic. It's not psychic. So understanding is very important. And understanding, you must not prejudge. You must not preconceive. You must not allow your old conditioning and old views and opinion and experience interfere with what you see. Meditation is like that. See things as they are. Understand? Not see things with your accumulated fear, worry, anxiety, and memory, and insecurity. That's like acting according to memory is not acting at all. You cannot use memory. Memory is the past. Now, this moment, this reality, this person is different. Like Polexus, a company, used to lose money, not doing well, wrong sector. But because it turned around, things are different now. They turned around because they bought this tool factory in China very cheap, dirt cheap, and the outskirts of Shanghai. Then the last few years, Shanghai boomed like anything. That's how the company did so well. And now it's still growing. So when you understand, you invest with understanding, you buy with understanding, you make money. The mind is the same. When you understand, you get less trouble, less suffering, more joy, more happiness, more peacefulness. And you keep your precept. It's a source of what? Happiness. Source of spiritual wealth. That's why spiritual wealth will come. And source of true peacefulness of mind. That's why keeping precept. Very important. It's very virtuous. So Dhamma, when you understand and put it into practice, is of great help to your life. It can bring about great transformation in the individual. So with this, we better end. Oh, sorry, I took extra 5 minutes. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, Leslie, you benefited. Sadhu, very good. Then all this recording, when you free in France, listen. I think those who came in late, they don't know. There is a good news. Leslie, she just joined her second lesson. She is going to France in a few weeks' time to get married to a Frenchman. But she has the understanding. She appreciates. She said, it's a blessing to come into contact with you all to learn this before she go. You can collect the books. I also rejoice. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then after that, we will invoke the blessing for our nation. then you make your expression. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy. Now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetocha fito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits which we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is finally realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, then we will end.
Allowing us to come and listen to the Buddha Dharma.